is where the executives and the mills lived. Some of the managers and stuff. And so this is Washington Park. About 30 years ago, there used to be a zoo here in the park. It was designed by Jens Jensen. Straight down the road, you can kind of see those towers. That's Prax Air. They do industrial gases. Yeah, for the mills.
Oxygen for welding and
pipe. And I'm going to take you past there. No, I grew up in the north side of Chicago and then out into the suburbs. And my wife grew up here. This is her hometown. She grew up in the East Chicago side. Yeah, and I should have brought you there, but yeah, but it's this plot used to be. This is the harbor side, and we're going to go through the East Chicago side. There used to be two schools, two high schools. This used to be Washington School, and they tore it down to build the Central High School. And they started to try to put new housing in here about 15 years ago, and then this past year they put these homes in. Not one of them have sold. And they're highly subsidized.
They're empty?
Yeah, these on this street front here. And I'll bring you through some of the harder areas and what they're doing. There's a project called the North Harbor Project. When I was president of redevelopment, we initiated. And it's a lot like what you see on the south side of Chicago in terms of where the Robert Taylor homes are. I'll explain that. This is the Harbor Belt that runs through here. Yep. This is the Harbor Belt Railroad, and it brings you to the mills over there. That's the Inland Steel. This is Prax Air. Now, we're going over this bridge. We're leaving the harbor and going to East Chicago. This piece of land that Prax Air is sitting on was designated in the early plans to be Central Park of East Chicago. Yeah, so much for that.
This, what year was that?
In the 1950s, 60s, I think. This is called New Edition, and let me see. I will be coming back down here, so I'll show you that in a little bit. I'm going to just take us down. But you're going to see along the road here, you see all these sniffers? You see how many pipelines run through here?
Yeah.
Look at us.
What is
all
the
way through. Well, these things all stick up. First of all, they don't really release, but they can release, actually, if there's a problem. But they just designate for planes that are following the pipes. They're required to follow their pipes every month, and it gives them a landmark to look at. This is the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal, still considered the most polluted body of water in America. The Army Corps has a $250 million project to dredge it. I was the director of the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal. And prior to the Clintons or during the Clinton administration, they had authority to dredge it for environmental reasons. Now it's just for navigational reasons. The idea is that they were going to hide the environmental dredge under the navigational dredge because that's the only authority the Army Corps has is navigational purposes. And the idea was if they saw it, they own it. So if they saw the pollution, they owned it. This is Buckeye Pipeline right here. Also a supplier of BP, it's kind of the last mile connection part of it. BP has a lot of their own pipelines for last mile connections. They're a major player. They've bought up a lot of the assets here. Right in front of us is BP, but also other industries. And I'll give you, there's Safety-Kleen. Now, as the director of the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal, we also owned 11 properties adjacent to the land, to the canal. And one of the properties is this property right here. We just went around, looped around the high schools right there, and the elementary school is right on the other side of the fire department. Yeah, this is a golf course, and right behind it is the high school, Central Park. What's significant about that is we sited what's called a CDF. Now, they're up here. If you don't mind getting out, this is a place where I take people and we run across the street. If you want to get out on that side, if you don't mind the cold.
Good point.
Oh, it's not that bad as long as it doesn't get windy. All right. Yeah.
Did you ever make a list and count them up?
This was all. I was so deeply in, you know, enmeshed in everything, thinking that I can help,
right,
I can contribute,
right.
But realizing they had their own interests.
Yeah. This is the Indian contaminated water
in America.
What's it called? What's the name of it again?
The Indiana Harbor Shipping Canal.
And what did they dredge this at?
All right. What you've seen at the end of the this is where the western branch and the southern branch cut off. That gray building there, that's U.S. gypsum. So they most of the walls that you have built in Chicago and around this region come from that facility. This area right here, this is called Safety Clean. And what they do is they reprocess used oils and chemicals. So your motor oils and stuff come here to be reprocessed. Also, what you're seeing where those barges are right there on the left bank there?
Yeah.
That's BP.
Uh-huh.
They have a connection out to the canal to barge out.
Why is this, I know it's to prevent oil from there. Are they worried about oil leaking into the water from here?
Right, one of the things that we have here is, again, this is the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal. It's the most contaminated body of water in America right now, and they're right in the process of doing an environment or a dredge for navigational purposes, because a lot of the barges are having to light load to go in and out. What you'll see down there are the booms,
oil control booms.
Yeah, and what you're seeing here is what they're trying to do is one of the main problems, especially with the rains, is it runoff into the canal.
Right.
Is that the soils are highly contaminated, and they leach out into the waterways. So that's what you're seeing on this side. If it slows down and we want to get across here, I can give you, if you don't mind, run.
It goes between where and where?
It ends just right here. And it goes to the Grand Calumet River. All right, come on. Sorry about this. All right. So what you're seeing here is you're seeing the petroleum bubble up from the ground.
Yeah.
Because it's so saturated with petroleums here. This used to be a refinery over here. It was used to be ARCO. This on either side, BP had bought up those properties. But in a settlement, what they've done is the Army Corps is dredging. You can see the dredging and the barges here. They're dredging the canal, and they're putting all this contaminated sediments in this what's called confined disposal facility, which can hold 4.8 million cubic yards of contaminated soils and materials.
So is that like a holding pond?
Yeah, okay. It's the last of the.
Leaks back in.
It's the last of the great CDS the Army Corps has in the Great Lakes. The last one to be sited was over 25 years ago. They sized it twice the size necessary for dredging the canal for the next 30 years, and it's going to continue to be open for 30 years until they cap it. It's got what's called a TSCA level cell in there for high toxic materials. Now under this bridge and over near the bridge that we were there, they're high PCBs. In these areas, this area has been highly characterized. If you look down, sometimes you see, or quite often you'll see, dead fish floating, and you can just watch the oil bubble up.
Well, we can see the oil sheen. Right?
Yeah, you can
on
see
the other side of those booms.
That's a fender that you put on the side of a boat, and it's supposed to be orange.
Yeah.
How black that is.
Yeah.
Like that orange one over there, it's
just
covered in oil.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get in the car and we'll get warm. The idea is that with the confined disposal facility is to get it out of a free flowing system and into a controlled system, the contaminants. Ugh. So like I said, the logic behind the Confort disposal facility is one of the reasons is that it's taking out the contaminants out of a free-flowing natural system, or not so natural, and into a controlled system for the future to determine how to address them, how to deal with it. So it's being placed in there. The problem is it's a half mile from two elementary schools, a high school and an elementary school. And that's a big issue. The other issue is that during the dredging, they're not doing what's called a hydraulic dredge, where they suck it up. They're doing a traditional scoop. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so they're dredging one of the most contaminated. The idea also is this, prior to 72, the Army Corps used to dredge the canal every other year and take these sediments and drop them in the middle of Lake Michigan. With the Clean Water Act, they weren't allowed to do that. So for the last 40 years, they haven't dredged this. And so it's accumulated enormous amount of contaminants. In addition, as we've been placing more regulations, we've been discharging less and less into it. But still, they've been just piling up. Main motive for dredging, finally enforcing this dredge to happen, was for industrial uses, because they've been having to light load their barges.
Yeah.
And so the barge, I mean, the level that they're supposed to be is at 21 feet. They're below at 16 feet in some areas, and some, I think even down to 14 feet in some areas. And the real problem with that is when the barges come through is they scrape the bottom and they reanimate the sediments into the water column. And so that goes and flows out into Lake Michigan. So if you see aerials of this region in the area, and you look at the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal as it connects, goes out to Lake Michigan, you see this big plume of contamination that you can just see it.
Silt.
There's a lot of lead, mercury, PCBs, dioxins. Don't ever eat a trout out of Lake Michigan, is the idea right now. There are some fish that are fine, but
really?
Trout bioaccumulate. Uh-huh. So they're actually, even in Indiana, our waterways are so contaminated, it's worse to, the trout in Lake Michigan is far worse than in our waterways and our rivers and streams. I think they already designate that you shouldn't eat more than one a month, which I think is being generous. So,
I have a question. This doesn't have anything to do with here right now. I was just driving from Cincinnati up to Chicago about a week ago, and there was this truck that was spraying water on the ground in front of us, and it had a really, really, really bad smell.
I don't.
Any clue? Have you heard of anybody
well, that's
doing this
is that in Ohio, area? Right?
Yeah.
So they're doing fracking in Ohio.
Right. I was wondering if it was fracking water. I've heard that they do that.
Yeah.
Legally or illegally?
Illegally. Anyhow, so this we just went through part of the tank farms. Right here is their administrative buildings. Now, I think it was in 2002, BP blew up one of its facilities, or accidentally had a mistake in Texas City, which triggered a investigation here, and that was headed up by James Baker, chief of staff under Reagan. And they discovered that one of the main problems that they had was in Texas City was that they had too many people living within what they called the blast zone. So several years ago, they discovered that, well, this is in the middle of the blast zone. They're essential staff, and they needed to move them out. And so they developed plans to build a new facility down at the end of this road for their essential staff. And they started construction, and they eventually abandoned it, saying that there was just too much slag. Now, this whole area is filled with slag, and I wanted to show you an example of it at home. But anybody who was official that knew about this, it wasn't that it was that there was slag that they were building on, because that's already slag where they are built. It's that every time they dug down, the holes kept filling up with oil. And that's right up here. This is BP's one of their tank farms. This is a tank farm.
It's slag.
All right. I have an example of it at home.
Residue from steel making.
Yeah. This whole area, this is called Lost Marsh. And basically, I'll walk, you'll see it on the edge here. This is where they used to dump a lot of slag, which is the byproduct of steel making process. And you see it in the rock in there.
Uh-huh.
Some of it's concrete that's just been thrown away, but some of it, and I'll give you an example of it at my house. Some of the dark brown stuff that you see. So this land used to be just piles of slag that was just thrown here that they converted into a golf course. Now, right, it was part of the marshlands, dunes and swales. Yeah, exactly. And Beamster Bore, the company that was dealing in pet coke, their primary business is dealing with slag. And that's...
What do they do with it?
They dump it, basically. But they also, what they do is they've learned to mix it with concrete, Portland cement. And so, and put it on roads and stuff, too. Yeah.
It's
there's toxins. It's mostly metals. When you see a lot of the iron stains, that's usually because of slag. All right, this is the area they were going to build their facility in. But they dug down and found that it was just filling with oil. Now, if you remember, Standard Oil used to have a building downtown now called the Aeon Building. It was the third tallest building in the world at the time. What they did, what's interesting about that is the president of Standard Oil at the time was from this area. He grew up in Northwest Indiana and ran the facility here and then became the CEO of Standard Oil. They built the Standard Oil building downtown to show, you know, their hubris. And to extend that hubris, they wanted to clad it in Carrara marble. And not only just any Carrara marble, they decided they wanted the same marble that Michelangelo's David came from, the same quarry. So they went and quarried that and actually depleted the quarry where the David came from. It's for the exterior of the building. It lasted about 5 years where it started to fall off, and about 11 years, and I think it was 90 or 89 or 92 or something like that, they decided to take it all off and reclad the building. It ended up costing them half the cost of the building to reclad it. And what they ended up doing with all that Carrara marble, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a view of it, they decided to crush it and throw it on the side of the road right here. So usually what I do with people is I let them run out and grab some Carrara marble. I have some in the backyard if you want some. This is all Carrara marble right here. That they just...
Come on, why would they do that? They didn't save anything and try to sell it.
So this is... If you want to, you can go out. I do have some in my backyard you can take from me. And that's interesting. There's slag over there. That's slag over there. And this is Carrara marble from the quarry that the David were.
One last.
Yeah, the last.
That was probably a very cheap thing to do, get rid of it that way.
That was very embarrassing for them.
What's also interesting is that those marble quarries is this Carrara is the home of the international anarchists. At those quarries was the origin of the Italian anarchist movement, when they started to industrialize the process. What you're seeing right here is Wolf Lake on the left.
Oh yeah,
Wolf. Lake. I-90 goes right through it.
Yep.
You're seeing across, and this is part of the Calumet Industrial Area, that's the Chicago site. Yeah, this is the county, Lake County's Environmental Center. I used to be on the board that oversees Lake Wolf Lake and the restoration of it. It's a city park. That's Hammond, part of Hammond, and that's just a stage that they built this year. They just developed this past year. They actually have a bike path that they built as a bridge across this. They just completed it. Frank Lloyd Wright designed an amusement park for this area. So what we're going through right now is Hammond, and we're going to go into Whiting, downtown Whiting. BP Refinery is known as the Whiting Refinery. Whiting only has a population of 5,000 people. It's still, BP kind of runs the community. They've now, with the reinvestment in the facilities. They are doing huge developments. It's basically a company town and in a commercial downtown area, commercially viable. They have what they call a pierogi fest every year, if you've ever heard of that. Something fun to come through, but it's basically a BP fest. They have, they're really trying to bring amateur sports, so they have multiple amateur sports facilities, and I'll show you a few of those. It's, you'll see the Whiting logo and everything like that. Oh, with Flashkas, yeah. There are a lot of people that sustain their food, you know, resources from Wolf Lake. If you looked on the north side of Wolf Lake, that's Cargo.
Because these clusters around here?
Yeah, there is a another cancer corridor that goes from the south side of Chicago here and extends to Toledo. And so there's this corridor from here all the way to Lake Ontario.
So it's not...
Or Erie, Lake Erie.
Well, you could argue that the winds would carry that stuff all the way that direction. Is that what the theory is? I'm
not certain.
Because there's not industry all the way from here.
No.
No, I was just going to say, it just takes it all the way east.
Yeah. You can see Whiting Flare becomes it's a monument for the town.
Where is that?
Right there. As I said, Whiting is population of 5,000. East Chicago is 30,000. Whiting is mostly middle class. East Chicago is mostly in poverty, below poverty. 97% of students in our public school system are on free lunch. And this is the downtown Whiting, just to give you a comparison when you go through downtown East Chicago. It's classic small town.
40s.
This is where they have lots of little restaurants opening up now and being kind of, everybody thinks it's kind of a cute place to come to, and there's microbreweries and all these things going on here now.
Yeah, is that a restaurant?
That's a Greek restaurant. Greeks were very much a part of this area. If you look right here is the Whiting logo, refining the heart of the community in the Standard Oil design.
Mm-hmm. Was the ARCO part of that?
Well, no, they were a competing company.
Oh, okay.
They sold to a farmers co-op, and then BP.
What are the other names of the companies from Standard Oil? On the East Coast, they called it something else. I can't remember.
Amoco.
Oh, Amoco. There's Amoco. Right. So there is no more.
No.
What happened to it?
Yeah. Eaten up by Amoco and then BP. BP is still sometimes when the Gulf
spill
happened on Earth Day. BP took down their signs along this road, Indianapolis Boulevard, uncovered them, and then left the Amoco signs. They were all Amoco signs on the Indianapolis Boulevard. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so crude.
So BP is pumping a lot of money into the town here.
Right.
Had pumped into it.
Tremendous amount of money into this downtown. I was part of a planning group to help redesign this area, and we had to meet with BP before we met with the public at any time, so they would tell us what to say to the public, what we could and couldn't say, could and couldn't happen. Well, there was a lot of lands that we couldn't allow to go into certain uses, but we couldn't tell them why, and we had to direct the conversation away from that. Here's their new stadium called the Oil City Stadium. They have the Whiting Oilers. They have their own amateur team called the Oilmen, which they started an amateur team here. One of the big games this past summer was them against the military. Yeah. And BP, when they redid the refinery, they put the big flare right behind the stadium. So you can see the big. It's a massive flare.
What are they burning off there?
I don't know enough
could
about
be
it.
Could be light end hydrocarbons.
On the other side of town, there's another amateur field and stuff like that. I could try to take us over there, but I'll just take us over here through here. I'm going to bring you through there in a second. We're going to go on the back end of BP. You're going to see this is the back end of BP. But I'm first going to take you to the lakefront here. They're putting this, you can see on the left-hand side, this redevelopment project right now. Massive redevelopment of our lakefront with the marina. So what you see off to the left there in front of us, the yellow buildings and stuff, that's ArcelorMittal. That's their peninsula.
That's a steel company.
That's a steel company. And right here is BP. Right here, that black facility, a tank there, is part of their water filtration plant. We have lots of environmental remediation companies in East Chicago, and I talked to one of them that works in BP, and they claim that BP has 4 to 5 spills a day in their facilities.
Worldwide?
No, here.
No, on the, here.
Right here. So what you're seeing in front of you is the Hammond Marina State Line power plant that they're tearing down. Yeah.
Is there a little harbor there? Then?
There's a little bit. I don't know if they're going to... I think they're intending to build a large harbor. But this is all new development in this last year.
Well, that's a harbor entrance. Yeah. Right there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's the...
So there's a... Because that's a large harbor here.
I'll show you. I don't know what they changed, but there's a little harbor entry, but it's not a harbor. It's what do you put
inlet
your
loop.
Put in yeah inlet and put your boats in boat launch yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's the casino, and right in front of us, this was Walhalla Beach.
Oh, I see. And is that the most polluted beach?
Huh?
Is that the one that you're saying is got the most polluted?
No, that's George Beach. This is Walhalla Beach, which was a county beach that the county just gave to Whiting for this lakefront development, because Whiting got all the money from BP to do this lakefront development. So they got the county conveyed the beach to them, Walhalla Beach. They did discover a couple years ago that they do have a housing market on the lakefront here. So they, about 4 or 5 years ago, they started building these homes at $200,000 and $300,000, and people have been buying them. They've been in demand. They haven't been sitting at all. And they have a lot of recreation facilities here. They have an incredible indoor rec center. They've been able to attract lots of Chicagoans that are having families and stuff like that to come on down here. I wouldn't say lots, but a number.
To commute or for jobs locally?
To live and commute into Chicago, yeah. And to raise kids and to be on the beach lakefront. Yeah. Actually, that's not their rec center. That's one of them. Whiting, like I said, it's a mostly white and East European, mostly Polish. But they've had a recent influx of Hispanics that they really are fighting against. And I didn't bring you through one of their neighborhoods. It's really tight.
Who is fighting against?
The older population. They're trying to... So Hispanics are moving in, mostly coming from East Chicago, and Whiting is not very welcoming of the influx. There's a lot of complaints of crime going up and stuff like that. They have a unique way with the police force to discourage. All right, so this is the backside of BP. What you're seeing right now, right in front of you, is their deal with the sulfur. Marsic area? Yeah, the whole area is. They do connect they don't on the Lake Michigan side, but on the canal side, they do. So the whole facility is guarded by the... They'll let you take pictures as long as we don't stop and you step out.
Yeah,
you're fine, you're fine. I don't get into trouble. I rarely ever get into stopped. But I've never had any problems while I'm in a car vehicle.
But they can't take your camera.
No, they can't, but they'll ask for it.
You've had that happen?
I've been chased, actually, in ArcelorMittal with my camera. I had a video camera, like a big one, and they chased me trying to grab it. I went up to the guy, and he asked for it, and I said, no. And he went reaching for it, and so I had to run from him. And I ran to my car and threw it in my car and locked the door. Yeah, but he was an old guy, so it wasn't that hard to get away from. But I had to wait for the East Chicago police to allow me to leave, because he wasn't letting me leave. He wanted it. So what you have here is the water filtration on this side. This area is the water filtration center. What you're seeing right...
That's for water coming into the plant?
Going back out.
Going back out.
Yeah, okay. So I met this fella who, in the 70s, who grew up here, and used to scuba dive in their pipe.
Yeah.
Because it was warm water.
Oh, wow.
And so they used to...
doesn't have cancer?
Yeah. So they used to they used to fish out of it. I guess there's salmon would hover around there, so they would get a bunch of salmon. And so what you're seeing here also, this part is part of the water filtration area right here, and it comes across here. But what you see right here, I think it is, let me see here, in front of us though. All right, so right over here to our left is Praxair. Praxair built these two hydrogen plants in conjunction with this facility. So right over here are two hydrogen plants. And right here, this one tower right there, that's the largest distillation tower in the world, oil distillation tower. And right over there, over there is the coker at the end. And that's the second largest coking unit in the world. Yeah. This area used to be filled with, used to have temporary housing here. All over, this whole place was filled with it. Many of the refineries have to retool to handle the heavy sour crude, but this is the only major refinery that's completely retooled itself to deal with it. Many of the refineries can't handle it, so they use a blend. They do light blends. Okay, so right in front of you, this is Marktown.
Yeah.
You can see the... So there's the coking unit right there, and that's where they produce the coke. And you can see all the handling, the units, the conveyor belts and stuff like that. They're undercover, which they aren't in the south side of Chicago. So we're going to enter into Marktown. Marktown is a neighborhood in East Chicago.
Okay.
And this was developed in 1917. Right before World War II or World War I, and then the government took over. If you go downtown Lake Forest, you'll see a lot of the similar architecture of what we just went by. You can see the vistas. This was built by Mark Manufacturing, ended up becoming LTV, and was the steel company on this side of the canal. We're on the east side of the canal. I'm sorry, the west side of the canal. About half of them are empty. There are about 400 people here. There are about 200 homes.
And what's that right in front of us?
That's ArcelorMittal.
Is there a downtown neighborhood?
We just went through it.
Oh,
it was
square.
It's around this part.
Yeah, this is Central Park here. When we came into Marktown, we went through what was to be the downtown, and there was a big fountain and stuff, but it was all torn out. It's supposed to be a huge development. I'm going to bring you through past the guy that used to run the historic preservation for Marktown. His name was Paul Myers. He also calls himself the mayor of Marktown. Mm-hmm. He got himself on the Citizens Advisory Board of BP. Mm-hmm. And then from that, he got a six-figure job in the oil industry, worked on the Alberta Clipper, an expansion of the Alberta Clipper. Now is in Madagascar, working on tar sands projects there. He owns half of the neighborhood, the buildings. I was there when he approached BP on selling out to BP. And this is his home right here, Paul Myers. He owns half the buildings here. Yeah, most of the buildings here. They want to buy it out. I think they want to buy it out to get rid of their environmental liabilities. I mean, look at that thing right there. That wasn't there before. Well, they want to play the market value, which is not much. Yeah, let's see right here. You can see some of the, on this street here, some of the bigger homes are not that big, but some of the more, I don't know if I can go that way. The other big landowner in Marktown is George Michaels, and he owns the bar here.
Oh, just
that? That bar, and he owns the other half of Marktown, basically.
Oh.
So most of Marktown is rental property. Okay, so
this building's enormous.
Well, these aren't huge. You ain't see huge.
Well, what is this for?
This ArcelorMittal. It's ArcelorMittal. Flat sheet. Okay. So we're going to come over to the canal again and up on the towards the peninsula. Now everything you're seeing here was infilled. All the land here was water, was Lake Michigan. And they built this land off the byproduct of steel. And they just filled it in and filled it in and filled it in all the way out there. Thousands of acres. Filled in all the way out. So you can see here's the most probably 19th century iconic view of the canal. I'll shoot up here and we'll come out and take
this. Whatever this building is abandoned.
Yeah. We're trying to get it preserved at one time because it's an Art Deco building, historic. Now this is the Indiana Harbor Shipping Canal. All right, so you remember I pointed out that gray building before when we were on the canal, that's U.S. Gypsum.
Right.
And so over here is all ArcelorMittal. Everything you see, the thousands of acres, is all infill into the lake. Creating the most art. If you look from an aerial photo of this area, the most distinctive land feature on the southern shores of Lake Michigan is this peninsula. It's so clear that you can see it, and you know right where East Chicago is and where ArcelorMittal is. We can go across if you want. What you're seeing right here is the docking unit that BP built to bring in the materials for the construction. Wait till these lakes that way.
Boy, you can really smell it.
There's a dead bird.
A dead bird.
So when you go into the south side of Chicago, and you see,
it's a merganser, I think.
Oh, with that kind of a big one.
When you're on the south side, when you look at the Southworks property that they're redeveloping now, that's what this land is. It's very much what that used to be. Yeah. And you can just see it goes on and on and on.
Slag from the steel?
Mostly slag, yes. Almost entirely the byproduct. And as they just, they've been building here since, I think they started the building they completed the canal in the 1920s. So about the 1910s, they started building the out into peninsula. Uh-huh. And the company on this side was LTV, was Mark Manufacturing early on that built Marktown, and on this side was Inland Steel. Yes.
So that's why they built here?
That's why steel is on waterways. Uh-huh. So it's because
refineries too?
Yeah.
They both need
use a lot of fresh water. There used to be a bridge, Klein Avenue, used to go across here.
Klein
Avenue. And in 1981, when they built it, it collapsed, and I believe it was 14 workers died. Is at that time considered the worst industrial accident in Indiana. So, anyhow, it's the scale of it. It's just massive, massive scale. This used to be, they used to have the ships come in here and they offloaded it into there. And you just don't get that view anymore. Watch it. get across. So he's just working the yeah, operator. And the last time I came down here, we were scouting for our bike tour because we brought the bikers right here, and I gave them a talk right here about this area. The drawbridge operator was there. A fire broke out in one of the buildings. He was able to point it out to us. He said he's never seen it. It just started flaming up. It was a major fire, huge.
I'm getting my stuff.
About 3-4 years?
Yeah. No, it's new.
This was Inland Steel. They bought up.
Wow.
We had a lot. Well, they bought up all the steel companies here on the lakefront, except for U.S. Steel. They bought up all the assets. So they're the biggest player now down here. All right, so right now I'm going to bring you over to our marina and give you a view of what's our public accesses. Now, we have 7.2 miles of lake.
Skyward?
It used to be. It used to be Klein Avenue. You can see it ends right there. They just.
Oh, I've been on that. When did that happen?
Well, you know how Daly kind of just put an X in the runways at Miggs Field?
Right around.
Well, the governor in Indiana kind of just blew up this bridge one day. So, and now they're going to rebuild it, and it's going to be owned by a private company. So we're going to go through right now North Harbor. And North Harbor has a street on it called Guthrie. And Guthrie is notorious throughout the state of Indiana as the place where everybody gets drugs. And this area is also got gang ridden. Should I go through there now? No, we won't go through there now. I'm going to go through the plan. This is Guthrie Street. You can see the projects. Yeah, it's Guthrie.
That's all projects.
And I was part of a project to redevelop that, and I'll tell you that later. But see if I can go this way. I'm gonna bring you over there.
Where's Burns Ditch?
Burns Ditch is
further east?
Yeah. All right, yeah, this building here is their administrative building for Inland Steel.
Oh, it's got gears on the top.
Now, do you remember...
That is cool.
Do you remember this last scene of Back to the Future where he takes off on the skateboard or whatever? Whatever he, Back to the Future, where he shoots off. Yeah, it was filmed right here. Yeah, it's filmed right here. Let's see. You can see some of the industry right close up, as close up as I can get you. So this is where I was filming. When I first moved here, I had a big old, digital camera, big, huge studio one, and I came over here and started filming, and they wanted to take it from me. I guess I have to go this way. All right, when steel started going down in East Chicago, it started disinvesting from the community, like decoupling from the community.
Is that in the 60s and 70s?
Mostly the 80s, late 70s. To fill the gap for employment was the casino. So today, the casino employs more East Chicagoans than the steel mill. Now that's East Chicago, and I'll bring you there in a second. I should have taken that other road, but I didn't. So I have to loop back around here. What I told you about, we developed what's called the Marquette Plan, and that was to address the industrial reuses opportunities on the lakefront. To fund that, The state helped, I wouldn't say help, but the state created what's called the Regional Development Authority, the RDA. So all the funds go to the RDA to be distributed for projects. Where they get those funds are from the casinos. Each one of the communities that has a casino are required to contribute $3 million a year. So East Chicago, Hammond, and Gary are contributing to this fund for the RDA. And the RDA then approves and what projects they'll go to. And that's a way to get that money that was supposed to go for economic development in East Chicago to be sent to white communities and for white people's projects, like the Gary Expansion Airport or the Portage Park. 5 years ago, they developed a lakefront park in Portage. Now, Portage contributed nothing to the fund, or very little. Portage, Indiana? Yeah, Portage. Portage is a community that was created out of white flight. In 1960, when Mayor Hatcher of Gary became mayor, the whites ran out. And they created a new community, a white community, called Portage. And so in terms of a lakefront project, monies were siphoned off of the casinos, which were to go for economic development in these urban depreciated communities. And they siphoned it off to go to projects that the region was interested in. And one of them was the Portage Lakefront, which is a white community. And you saw some of it in Hammond and some of it in East Chicago is yet to have a major project, even though that they've been contributing to this fund for over a decade. So we have the Marina, East Chicago Marina is over there. We have Ameristar Casino here, and I'm gonna bring you back behind the parking lot to show you what our public access is to the lake. And we'll have a little problem with the guard here. He's gonna say, I can't park here, I have to park there. Stuff like that. All right, so it's beach parking. Now this past year, they cleaned up. I'm gonna go to the beach. Okay. Casino employees, right. And that building there is actually our beach house.
The whole purpose of making this harbor is to house the casino. But probably the marina is sort of an afterthought. Casinos have to be in the water, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the boat. The casino.
What was the name of that thing? The RTA? No.
The RDA, Regional Development. The Regional Development Authority.
That's unfair.
The governor, in creating it, has veto power over any project.
This is happening all across the country.
Yeah.
In all kinds of... It's just $9 million a year, approximately. And how long they've been around?
About 6 years now.
Well, there you go. That's a lot. And then, all their cronies get the construction gigs and all the contracts.
Their dock lines off those ships every once in a while.
Yeah.
And then they put them back on. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. All right, so our lakefront
is
from here to, you see there where the mound goes up a little bit? And if you go straight out, are you see there's a few rocks right there?
That little mound.
No, you see there are a few rocks poking out? That's East Chicago. Everything to the right of that rock is Gary. So right here, from those rocks to here, is East Chicago's lakefront. Public access.
Oh, those little
yards.
Rocks right there.
Yeah.
So
oh, wow.
Do you have the slide and the jungle
gym?
Gary.
No.
That's
Gary.
That's
about 50 yards, would you say?
Yeah.
A little longer.
About 100 yards.
100 yards?
So that's our lakefront. This is George Beach, which is the most contaminated beach in the Great
right
Lakes.
Here?
Yeah.
How do you spell it?
George. G-O-E-R-S-E.
What's it contaminated with?
Mostly what they say, it's mostly seagull feces and stuff like that. So it's bio, but E. coli and stuff like that. It's but really what the problem is, if you know the current, Lake Michigan current, it goes south here and around the here, and with this big peninsula sticking out there, it causes this swirling back into itself.
It's
and
does,
yeah. So it causes this problem, and then on top of it, you have got this break wall for the casino and stuff. So the industry, hilarious, the industry did the study on the problem of the contamination. They blamed the casino because of this break wall here. That
right.
This is not because of their big peninsula that's right beyond it, but it's mostly because of this break wall. But I think it's a double problem.
And the Calumet Channel is over there. Where's the most polluted channel?
The Indiana Shipping Canal is on the it's okay. That way. So the idea right now is to fill this in up until the break wall, end of the break wall, to extend the beach out into the lake to clean up this problem.
Huh.
So that is a steel plant?
That's U.S. Steel over there.
U.S. Steel. And those piles of stuff?
Well, this is salt over here and stuff like that. That's a concrete company right here in front.
The concrete company.
This is Buffington Harbor. This used to be Trump Casino, owned by Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
He brought the Miss America contest here. Remember that?
No. Oh, I did hear about that, yeah. Actually.
Can we see Michigan City from here?
That would be straight out that way, yeah.
So it's out
beyond that freighter.
Yeah.
To the left of the freighter?
Or carrier.
Yeah, way
so
out there.
It's not a very clear day, but normally you'd be able to see it. And yeah. Mount Baldy, too, which is over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you'd see Mount Baldy too clearly here, no.
No. Okay.
But anyhow, so this is our beach, and it actually looks very nice right now, doesn't it? It does.
Is that boat at the casino? That boat over there?
Yeah, that's the...
That's part of the Trump casino?
Well, it's not owned by Trump anymore, but it's...
Is it operating still?
Yeah.
The formerly Trump.
So, when BP was seeking permitting for their asphalt plant in Hammond, I videotaped all their permitting meetings, public meetings, and the head of BP came over to me and invited me over to the yacht club, the Chicago Yacht Club. He said, why don't you meet me over at the Chicago Yacht Club? So after the meeting, about midnight, I get there. It's just the head of BP. It's the husband of my representative, state representative, who happens to be Matt Reardon, and also the guy who did all the economic development projects for the region. Also, the head of the what's called the Forum, which is a lobbying group for industry. So it's just us there. And we're there all night, and they get drunk like crazy.
I'm a shorty. Okay.
So they invite me there, and
Chris, just a couple of guys.
Four guys and us, yeah.
Four
and
we, guys sitting around.
At the bar at the yacht club, and it's only us. And they're telling me their story. It turns out they all grew up together in East Chicago. And it was their turn to make money. And I was being included, I guess. Is he going to let me go?
Obviously.
So they just continued to tell me their stories, you know, and stuff like that. And I wished I recorded it. It's one of those things.
I'm recording you.
Yeah.
Their turn to make money?
Yeah, their idea. They were telling me their war stories against the Pastrick regime and how they got themselves positioned. One of the guys who was ahead of the forum in marketing, he used to be a councilman in East Chicago, and he's telling me how he lost his last council race to this guy in a small bus. You know, he was, you know, trying to indicate that he was a retard. And he knew that guy was cheating because he was cheating. So he had gone in and changed the booths and the numbers in the...
positions in the polls?
In the polls, and what do we call those poll booth things. And he only stole like 100 votes, he said, and the other guy must have stole more. That's the reason why he knows it, that he was cheating, because he had cheated.
How long ago was this?
Well, that was during the 2000 election. There's a documentary that won a lot of awards called King of Steel Town. You get a chance to see it. It's great. And it's about when we have local elections here, there are millions of dollars that float in the street. So, I mean, you don't see an election like an election here. Everybody's got their hands out and getting money for something. Money is spreading, is all over the place during the election. Everybody lives from local campaign to local campaign. The mayoral election is huge here. Huge. And it was a mayoral election, and there's a great documentary about the one in 2000. And what the mayor did, he spent like $100 million of public money just spreading around and doing concrete projects and sidewalk projects and stuff like that for people. My driveway and my patio were done by the councilman. He came in. We were living in New York at the time. We moved to New York during this time. And they came in and they just tore up our driveway, tore up our backyard, and put in a patio and put in a new driveway for us.
Without notifying you in advance?
It's a surprise.
Well, let me just say, they do kind of notify us. So anyhow, the councilman was found guilty, and he ran off to Greece. So he was right after he was found guilty, he took off to Greece. So he hasn't been seen since.
Like a mini Chicago.
Of course, there's no extradition treaty between the United States.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I should have gone that way, actually. Well, I'll bring you through another. All right, so you had Mark Manufacturing. Oh, I could have gone back behind there. Oh, I'm going to have to go through another. Let's see if I can go through here. All right, so Mark Manufacturing created Marktown. Inland Steel created Sunnyside. This neighborhood that we're coming into. Not these buildings here, but... And so this is another company neighborhood. One of the main strategies, one of the things that they had to solve with workforce is housing. Industrial housing was a major issue. In trying to keep the workforce there, and prior to this, they would supply housing just for the workmen, but not for the family. So the men would come in, and then they would leave because they wanted to, you know, they were kind of off working and having to send money home and stuff. And so eventually they didn't have a stable workforce. So to keep them here, they started building out these neighborhoods. And this is called Sunnyside. And you'll see it's somewhat similar to...
What era is this?
This is... 60s
or something.
No, this is actually from the early part of the century. This is before Marktown.
This is?
Yeah, well, you see up here. They put siding on this. There's all sorts of siding on these things. These are duplexes. Every one of them is a duplex.
So they're much smaller.
Oh, I think that's a model.
Yeah.
And they're tiny because each one represents two families.
Right.
But they were like little wooden. They were wooden frame houses.
Yes.
And now they've got this siding on them.
This was Inland Steel. This is their project. So on this side of the canal, Inland Steel developed this. There were several work utopian villages. You had in the late 1890s, you had Pullman. Now 1920s, 1910, 1917, you had Marktown. You had this. I think this is about 1910. You have Sunnyside. Another community like this was in Gary, and that was... Thomas Edison developed concrete framed homes, and so there's another neighborhood in Gary.
What's it called?
Oh, I can't remember the name of it.
And who was it built by? Electric company?
Thomas Edison. So he invented a concrete process for framing in homes. There are these concrete homes.
Look at this tiny little.
And so here we're in the harbor.
Like score, right?
No. That's down there. Okay. But I run here all the time. This is close to my neighborhood. Yeah, and I'm going to take it downtown, and I'm going to take it back around.
So you live in this area. How do you feel about being so close to this?
Yeah, but if you know the winds, the westerlies, it shoots. It sends it out to Lake Michigan, and it goes out Lake Michigan and comes back into Chicago. BP is the third largest contributor to Chicago's pollution.
Really?
Arcer Middle is probably the second.
Well, what about particulate matter?
Yeah, that's a problem. We get it. We have it fall on us. Now, this is downtown Main Street in East Chicago. In the harbor. Yeah, that's. I think particulate matter is the biggest issue, and I think they're learning more. Unfortunately, the EPA hasn't been regulating. It's only in the last 2-3 years that they've decided that it is a problem. So particulate matter had never been a part of the equation in terms of risk assessments until just recently. Now, here's one place I thought we can go if you want to go somewhere is Jerk to Go.
Jerk to Go.
Yeah.
Well, shall we adjourn to the Jerk?
Do you want to try it?
Yeah, if they have french fries. I don't eat meat.
Oh, you don't?
I don't eat meat.
They might
I'm
have.
Vegan, but I can eat french fries.
I brought some hummus and baba ganoush if you want.
Well, let me get give you a round. And
yeah, you can really tell the vast difference. These two towns.
It's pretty run down.
Yeah.
Christian books and coffee bar.
So this is. All right, so now we're headed further and further north on Main Street. I almost bought that building right there.
Nice to details.
For what purpose?
As an art center, to make it an art center.
Wow.
Because I could have bought it myself at the time.
What happened?
Oh. I started going poor, and city politics started to increase. And so I just... decided not to do it. That was going to be my kind of investment in staying. That's how I was going to interface with the community and started an art center.
So but, is this public housing or subsidized? Or?
All right, this is the North Harbor project. Actually, I'm the one who initiated this project, and then I was fired, let go, and it's become mostly subsidized. What happened here was this was supposed to be market-based housing, and it wasn't supposed to be looking like this. We're looking at Marktown as a model. But what it turned out to happen, these used to be parking lots that weren't on the tax rolls. And so we developed a TIF. We did a TIF out of a parking lot that wasn't generating any taxes. And we ended up having to fold the project because BP announced their project. And so what happened was BP depreciated the value of the land in East Chicago so much that we couldn't go forward with it. And then I was let go. And so somehow they got the financing for this. Now this is Guthrie Street.
And these are projects.
Right.
What are they called?
This is Harborside.
Yeah.
And I believe it's owned by the Rockefellers. Yes, I believe this is owned by the Rockefellers.
These
projects.
Why would they steal the Rockefellers?
Because they yeah. make money. They're slumlords.
The tax,
so this, yeah. So this is.
They're making money off this deal? Yeah, because it's guaranteed
I bet they
money
do.
Every month.
That's not. That may be the case, or they use it as a depreciation or a deduction or something.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's their advantage.
Whatever it is, it's pretty funny that the Rockefellers.
Why, the Vanderbilts were huge slumlords. They're all
slumlords.
I know, but it's in East Chicago,
Indiana. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go through a neighborhood. I'm going to bring you back to the Jerk place. I just want to finish off this tour before we get there. And I'm going to shoot you through two neighborhoods. One is it's right at the end of this street here. It's called New Edition. And it's one of the neighborhoods that just kind of got isolated, cut off from other rest of the neighborhoods. I could bring you down this one cute road. Yeah, I won't. Oh, yeah. Maybe I should.
So it's Arch... It's
Arcelor.
Arcelor Mittal.
Mittal, yeah.
South Asian, Indian. And is it part of that... it must be a huge... Indian multinational.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Okay. So right up here, I'm gonna bring it down. All right, I told you that there were two companies. Two companies in East Chicago that made the list of 102 most dangerous chemical companies. One of them is right here, it's Chimera, and they deal with chlorine, chlorinated materials. That is
Chimera
right here. And they just kind of are reusing, you know, an empty industrial lot.
Just this tiny little building.
That over there.
Oh.
So. Yeah, now this is an administrative. It you'd be shocked. It's run like a little family business, kind of small. Yeah, I used to. I got a tour of that facility.
It has worked 1,470 days without lost time.
Yeah. So that's Chimera.
A lost time master.
Yeah. That's how they measure.
That's so. Yeah.
And so on this side, you have Buckeye Pipeline. Right in front of us is the canal. I'm not going to let you out. Just give you. This is where bodies are found. You know, at the end of this road here.
Bodies? Dump jobs.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. If
that's what you call them?
Wow. The police.
That's
what we used to call them.
If there is a killing in East Chicago, they usually dump the body in the canal here.
Ooh, look at that.
So that's the canal.
Look at that bridge. Yeah. That's the one that rolls back on its
right.
Rail.
And that's you.
This is still used, this rail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's U.S. gypsum that we've been as a marker.
And they're getting their material from the bag houses on the steel plants or something. They get the sulfur is captured with limestone, limestone spray, and that's what is used in sheetrock. So it's also got other contaminants in it.
You can see the tracks coming out of there. They're probably dealing with puck coke right there. That. To get it onto the canal and onto barges right over here. Yeah, if they were getting rid of Petcoke, it'd probably be out of that facility right there. And you can see.
That was a covered truck that just came.
Yeah.
But they weren't covering them.
The barges, yeah. And here's, you may not realize, but Cargill is also got a steel production facility.
Wait, they're doing steel here?
Yeah, they're...
I was wondering what they were doing here, because they're so diversified. They're like the largest privately owned steel in the world.
Really?
They're privately owned steel. So they're very secretive.
All right, so I'm going to... do two things here. I'm going to go in here so you can see. This is New Edition. I'm going to go into their neighborhood real quick, and I'm going to pop in and pop out. All right.
So. You see that private rail car?
Yeah.
Kelly?
Where? In the there in the Bay Area.
Well, when we turn right, it's
left. Look at these are shotgun shacks.
They're what?
Shotgun shacks. I never heard that.
Yeah, that's what they call them. And it's just straight down to the back of the house.
Yeah, you take everybody out.
Oh, I thought he said these are Shanghai shacks.
Shanghai shacks. Probably he'd get them all with one shot too.
So you see the neighborhood in a juxtaposition to the industry.
New Edition. When was this new?
This is. I think New Edition is from about the 1950s, 1940s. Anyhow, so you can see how it's kind of snuggled in here. It's just this isolated little neighborhood, like Marktown.
You know, it's funny, I haven't seen that many churches.
Oh, I should have given you a church tour. There's
a lot of
churches here.
I guess it wasn't the subject of my attention. But
there are lots of churches here.
That one. Usually in these working class towns, there's like tons of churches.
Yeah, there are tons. A lot of Baptists, a lot of Catholic.
There's the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, so this is the first bridge we went over. There's Praxair.
Okay.
So now we're going under it. And I'm going to take you to a neighborhood called Calumet Neighborhood. And what's significant about the Calumet Neighborhood, two things. Actually, this here used to be a neighborhood. In the 1980s, they tore the neighborhood out and built this area here. Actually, not this is older, but right at the end of this building here. All that was part of a neighborhood. Yeah.
And it was taken by eminent domain?
Yeah, but and the whole neighborhood leveled to put in an industry here, right here. And that was up until the 80s. Also in the 80s, I'll show you a federal housing project that was built on an old lead refinery. So this is well after the EPA being formed. All right, this was a lead smeltering place right here to our right. So right here, they're in the process of tearing it down. There's a lead smeltering. This is the Calumet neighborhood. And on the other side of the Calumet neighborhood was another lead smeltering facility called U.S. Lead. And for 30 years, these companies have been out of business or shuttered. It took, during that time, the EPA, in characterizing the land and everything here, kept saying it was safe. There's no contamination. There was no contamination. It wasn't until a month after U.S. smeltering, refinery and smeltering, declared bankruptcy that the U.S. EPA then declared the place contaminated and declared it a Superfund site. So this neighborhood is part of a Superfund site.
The Superfund site comes all this way from that plant down there?
Yeah.
Between the two plants?
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of air emissions during the smelting process.
Probably, yeah. And it's in the soils. They have to dig up the yards 3 feet down, they say. In addition, let me go this way. They built right in front of us is a federal housing right on the land and a school, new school on the land.
On the contaminated land.
On the contaminated land.
Always do that. Schools and parks.
Well, for some people.
Yeah, of course.
This is, again, one of the poorer neighborhoods. What's interesting is there's a basketball player named Etuan Moore who came from this neighborhood. He plays for the Orlando Magic. He played at Purdue, was a on the honor roll society at Purdue. Bright kid, and he comes from this neighborhood. And there are so many amazing people in this neighborhood and in other neighborhoods of East Chicago, and are completely and continue to be dedicated to the area. One of the more powerful churches in East Chicago is this First Baptist Church. It's gates open. All right, we can go in. All right, every night at 5, they lock the gates.
Where?
To the project here.
Oh, wow.
You can't get in between. You can't go through it. And they have a gate. They have one entry then, and a guard at the entry. So at 5 o'clock, this is.
Well, you
are
can.
You telling me if I lived here, I couldn't leave to go someplace else.
You can walk.
No, you can get out of here.
There's a gated community.
It's a gated community.
Right.
You got one way out. Then this is a second way.
But that gate only covered the road. There was a passage on the sidewalk that you could walk out or ride your bicycle.
But if it has a guard, can the residents go in and out?
The residents can go in and out.
You can't have guests.
I'm not certain how it works with guests.
So why do they do that?
Oops, excuse me. I didn't realize that. So this is the guardhouse, and the only way to get in and out when that gate is closed.
And
safety, I guess. What there used to be, all right, there are a lot of gangs in this area, and they used to fight against other gangs in North Harbor. And so I'm guessing in their minds it's a way just to fight gang activity. Now I'm going to kill you down here too, because real quick, because the Indiana Shipping Canal connects to the Grand Canal down here. All right, so here's the southern branch of the Indian Harbor Shipping Canal. Obviously, not a shipping canal here. And if you look right here, right beyond that bridge there, it goes right into the Grand Canal River. So the Grand Canal River runs through here, and I'm going to show you that from another angle. And we have along here a lot of steel scrap companies right on its shores. The Grand Calumet River.
Oh.
There's the Grand Calumet and the Little Calumet that converge and connect into the Calumet River. And these are mostly scrapping companies right here, some recycling. Float right through that. Sorry, if you don't mind me. I don't want to.
The business of is it the Little Calumet that bypasses the electric barrier in the Calumet River?
Yeah, yeah. It connects. It's another route to Lake Michigan that bypasses the electric barrier.
Was there some?
So we're going to come down here. Now, I showed you that CDF, Confined Disposal Facility. It's basically a toxic dump. Here's another one.
I was wondering, I saw the mound.
And so this is a big mound of sand that they put on, the lead contaminated.
They just covered it up and left it there.
Yeah.
So, it probably just always stayed there.
Yeah, so it's... And then right at the south end of this, you can see the Grand Canal. I'll show you that. And then we're going to loop back around. And right here, that was Dover. That would be the other major... I don't know what they deal with at Dover, but they're on the list in terms of dangerous chemical companies. So here's the Grand Canal. And I'm going to do a U-turn up here. That's 90 up there. And that's where the South Shore line goes. South Shore used to go through downtown East Chicago, and then they moved it to the southern part of East Chicago. All right, so.
Why did it do that?
I don't know, but it really, really hurt. If I brought you down to Klein Avenue over there, you would see that the Army Corps is in the process of dredging. This is put in to
protect that wetland.
Yeah, while they're doing the dredging, so it's actually a part of the dredging and cleaning project. All right, so that was Calumet. They're dealing with a Superfund site. I had in my presentation, although I didn't show it to you. The EPA, US EPA, showing up at our summer funds. One of the greatest festivals in East Chicago is what they call Calumet Days. Calumet Days, and it's an African American neighborhood, and what they have is this festival where everybody sets up picnic tables, and they cook. They bring food, thousands of dollars of food, and they cook, and you go from table to table, and you sit at their table and you share their food.
Oh, wow.
You don't pay for it. They take care of you. Anybody can come.
But
basically what it is, it's everybody whose families came from here that come back. Wow. And they come back and they know the poverty that's here. Mm-hmm. And they come back and serve their own neighborhood and their friends, and they tell stories and they share and they get back, they link back. Yeah, it's a huge reunion. And but everybody's in Chicago's invited. It's just a wonderful festival, and the food is unbelievable. Riley Park is where they usually set up, and everybody comes in with all their SUVs and their recreational vehicles and stuff like that, or whatever, campers. All right, so this neighborhood actually is called Honky Town. Honky Town because the Hungarians settled it. This neighborhood. We have the Carmelite Home, which is an orphanage for girls. And the reason I'm bringing you through Honky Town is because it's adjacent to my neighborhood, but also because on the other side of Honky Town is Sitco. They have a tank farm. And in terms of benzene discharges, they are horrible. Sitco... Oh man, the number of things that you have to get them down on. Oh geez, it's tough. I don't know. There's so many things. One of the things I found myself doing here as I came and settled here is I thought is, how do I recast my skill sets to help the community and fitting in and dressing things? And then I found myself having to deal with, I went into urban planning then, and then I had to deal with environmental issues. And trying to think about how we can have win-wins to solve our environmental issues. And the problem I found that I ended up having to do is you can fight one plot of land on one issue for your whole life, have ebbs and flows, and you have to become experts in things. And the question was how much of your life you're going to dedicate to that, and because it can take up so much, and there's so many issues. So I decided to step back and become more of a generalist and also say, and be more like a pointer. Hey, everybody, look what's going on over here. You know, I was just trying to tell, look on what's going on. This neighborhood kind of created their own park. They set it up themselves. That's Honky Town, and this is Sitco. Let me give you back. I'll go see if I can go all the way around this part. This is a tank farm. Tremendous releases of benzene. They mostly store jet fuel here. And right across Klein Avenue, we're going to see Klein Avenue, is the airport. Do people fly into that airport? I suspect rich individuals do. I mean, certainly Trump did, and wealthy individuals. They've tried to make it. They've tried it. Well, let's say that. The airport has been on 9 lives. It's had so many different lives. The land that you're seeing right here, this is DuPont. Remember I told you Dover was one of the 9, was one of the, on the list of worst? Yeah. They bought out DuPont's property. DuPont goes from where we were all the way to Klein Avenue. A lot of this hasn't been developed, and there's some natural dunes and swales in there. But there's, along with it, is this highly toxic dumps that they have in there. And it, while I was a part of characterizing the environmentals in East Chicago and stuff, DuPont was the only prior responsible party that I was not allowed to go characterize. Nobody was allowed in. Nobody was allowed to know. The environmental department agencies weren't even allowed in. Somehow DuPont had more power. DuPont. They had that much power.
They had power over the state and the federal government.
They told what can be done and what couldn't be done. Right now, they are beginning to do some projects on the canal, or on the Grand Calumet River. And so they're getting in there a little bit.
Wait, but Dover bought them out.
Dover bought their buildings. I don't know if they own DuPont's land.
But DuPont's not still operating here?
No, they don't operate here anymore. Now, I could give you a beautiful tour of a neighborhood in Gary. We're in Gary right now. But I could give you an amazing... There are neighborhoods in Gary that are just completely like this now, overgrown. Oh, look at that. You guys... Whoa, guys. Did you see... Look at that. You are seeing an oil dump right now. Watch. I'll show you. Look, down there.
I saw it.
I bet nobody knows that that's there.
Well, what about the booms?
I know. I bet nobody legally, the public doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's been there.
Yeah.
Spill.
See the dumpster over there?
Yeah.
So somebody dragged it over there.
Something's going on.
And it's maybe leaking.
Something's going on there.
There's nothing near here.
Well, but that dumpster.
Yeah.
If that was filled with...
There's the pipeline right there. And it's a sniffer. There's a pipeline right there.
Because
they got a guard right there. I wonder what. Something's going on.